Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It is 7:06 on O'Connor and Company this Monday morning in the nation's capital. Thanks for letting us be a part of your day and your morning routine. Although there's nothing routine about what we do here at Julie Gundlach.
Nothing.
No, that's why people keep coming back for more. Coming up in 30 minutes, we had Kurt Schlichter. He was there lobbying for Harmeet Dillon, hoping that she would win the election for RNC chair. But Ronna McDaniel has been reelected for a fourth term. So what did that look like? And what will things happen moving forward? How will things be different now that Ronna McDaniel was challenged in such a robust way? We'll hear from Kurt Schlichter. Then at 8:05, Mike Waltz, he's the new chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. We'll get his reaction to the tanks going to Ukraine. And then at 8:35, Rob O'Donnell, as I've mentioned before, we have him on whenever there's an officer-involved incident, and he has plenty of strong opinions about what he saw on video from those five cops killing Tyree Nichols. That's all coming up. As I mentioned, Julie Gundlach's here, and Julie, it's Monday. It's 7 o'clock. It's Joe time. Joe DeGeneva is here. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'd love to start you on this Tyree Nichols video. I'm sure you've seen it by now. Again, my instinct is always to, you know, give the cops the benefit of the doubt, but I just don't see how this is anything other than manslaughter or murder.
Well, I think the really important thing about this is we have these fantastic videos and the street cameras, which show conclusively that you had five improperly trained, unprofessional police officers murdering a citizen who probably shouldn't even have been stopped. But once he was stopped, what you had was people out of control. Five police officers feeding off of each other, no supervisor in attendance. Remember, these five officers were all members of a so-called elite unit called the Scorpion Squad, which has since been disbanded since this murder of Tyree Nichols. These were the worst trained police officers I have ever seen. And it's not surprising, since the Memphis Police Department has a horrendous record of bad policing. And it's really fascinating. You don't read this very much, but Sarah Lynn Davis, who is the current black woman police chief, was fired by the Atlanta Police Department for basically corrupting a police investigation into the husband of one of her favorite sergeants. She has a very bad record. I've heard all this great reporting recently about how she's done a wonderful job and she's this and that. The fact is, she's a lousy manager. This would not happen in a well-run police department. She's not running a well-run police department. This is a poorly run police department, and they are operating apparently under some forms of consent decrees as well. So the bottom line is, this is a bad police department with a bad police chief and a lot of bad officers. Yeah, it's a very good place to start a criminal investigation. These five officers are really disgraceful, and they remind me a little bit of Lieutenant Byrd, who shot Ashley Babbitt with no reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe, I'm interested in your opinion on how much DEI programs sort of might have something to do with this, the idea of diversity, equity, inclusion, hiring people based on their race rather their qualifications, or suspending certain training requirements in order to pump up the DEI in your whatever industry or program. Do you think that, you know, we've seen this happen over the last couple of years, this pressure to hire, you know, have a more diverse workplace. Do you think that has something to do with this?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that that is part of the problem in Memphis as well as other places. What they've done is they have substituted quality personnel. They've gotten rid of that requirement, and they are filling out blanks on a report. In other words, we need to have this many X, this many Y, this many Z, regardless of their capabilities, their intellect, their judgment, and their psychological profile. Remember, one of the most important things in hiring a police officer is the psychological profile of that person. And I will venture to say, if you go back and you look at these five officers' records, if they haven't been scrubbed now for civil litigation purposes, you will find people who do not fit the proper profile of police officer, which requires balance, restraint, inner strength, judgment. Those things were all absent from this crime scene. These are five of the worst police officers you could ever put on the street. And one of the things people should do is go back and listen. Forget watching. Close your eyes and listen to the language being used by these five officers.
Yeah.
First of all, they can't speak English very well, but they gave them a gun. They use crude, corrupt language. These are not people who should have ever been allowed to become police officers. And the person responsible for that is Sarah Lynn Davis, the black woman chief of police.
Mm-hmm. So one other thing on this, because we talked about this phenomenon where, you know, Van Jones and others are saying, well, just because the cops are black doesn't mean that they weren't motivated by racism, because, of course, the victim was black. I'm sorry for being, you know, cynical, but if the victim were white, I don't think we would have heard about this case.
Well, Van Jones is sort of a person whose views are irrelevant to me, and they should be irrelevant to everybody in the United States. I mean, the guy is a Class A moron, but he has a pedestal at CNN, and he's allowed to spout this nonsense. I basically ignore people like him. They shouldn't even contribute to the conversation, let alone control it. The motivation of these officers may very well have been black-on-black hate. I have no idea whether that was it. I do know this. These people were not good police officers because they were not properly trained.
Yeah.
They never should have been hired. And that is the key to this, not who was black and who was white. These were bad cops. They should never have had a weapon. Mm.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all in any way whatsoever, and that's what needs to be looked into. And but the charges of racism certainly are part of the story, whether it's real or not. It's part of the story, and we need to at least respond to that as well.
I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. It's just irrelevant to me in this personally as I analyze this case.
Yep,
these are bad cops.
Yeah,
and people have to grapple with the fact that the Memphis Police Department stinks.
At 8:35, we're going to hear from Rob O'Donnell, who, based on some of the things I've seen him say on Twitter, I think will also echo what you've heard from Joe DeGeneva here. We'll get it from a cop's perspective at that time. Joe, while we've got you, we'd love to talk about some indication that oversight hearings are going to begin this week with James Comer and the Oversight Committee, focusing on the Hunter laptop story, but it's not going to talk about the actual contents and the evidence of a crime and other such. It's going to focus on Twitter first. On February 8th, the House Oversight Committee is going to bring in testimony from three former Twitter executives about the censoring of the Hunter Biden laptop story. Why is that such a big part of this?
Because Twitter is basically a public utility when it was owned at the time by someone other than Elon Musk. Those people conspired with government officials to deny Americans their First Amendment right to get information from a newspaper called the New York Post. Those Twitter officials conspired with government, people from the FBI more particularly, to corrupt the news gathering process under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Every one of those Twitter executives should be sued for civil damages for what they did to interfere with the presidential election. If we had a real Justice Department, they would all be investigated for the favorite crime now of all the people on the left, and that is a conspiracy to defraud the United States government of a free election. The real threat to democracy in 2020 was not right-wing people, not Donald Trump, not Governor DeSantis. It was the FBI and the Twitter executives. And that is why they're up there, because the FBI remains, amazingly to say, a clear and present danger to the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, Joe, stick with us. I'm done asking you if you can stick with us. I'm just going to take for granted that you can stay one more second. Because Ted Cruz is now saying that the FBI needs to get involved with the Hunter Biden laptop story even more than they have been. And this actually has to do with those classified documents. We'll get to that and much more with Joe DeGenova. But first, it's 7:60.
You've heard the news. Now get the facts. It's the Vince Colonnais Show, weekdays 3 to 6, right here on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Julie Gunlock and I, Larry O'Connor, continue now with Joe DeGenova, who I'm told will appear on Newsmax later this morning with his wife, Victoria Tonsing. I know that because I saw your wife tweeting, although there was a time when your wife wasn't tweeting, right, because of the totalitarians there at Twitter. And I just want to pick up where we left off there on their ability to work with FBI and censor average Americans. We had another release of the Twitter files over the weekend by Matt Taibbi. I don't know if you saw this. It had to do with this thing called the Hamilton 68 list. It was this list was curated by an organization. I think it was like Americans to Defend Democracy or something stupid like that. It was created after Trump won the presidency. And it was a combination of John Podesta, Bill Kristol, Leon Panetta, Chertoff was on there as well. All these, I mean, you talk, it's like the deep state rogues gallery, Joe.
Mike Morrell.
And the media took this thing. It's like basically this Hamilton 68 list was supposed to be definitive proof that anything that was trending on Twitter that was harmful to Democrats and the left was really just a Russian bot operation. And the whole thing was bogus. And Twitter knew that it was bogus. And is that a crime, what happened here? Because I know people who were harmed greatly by this.
Well, here's what I think. It may be a crime because people's civil rights may have been violated. But it's certainly a civil wrong for which people can seek damages against personally, by the way, against people like Michael Chertoff, who parades around and acts like he's some super luminary above the fray. Remember, Chief Justice Roberts hired him to consult with the marshal of the court on their leak investigation. At that point, I said, as soon as I heard Michael Chertoff was involved, I said, it's over. This is going to be an abysmal failure because Chertoff thinks about one thing, his next job and being loved and caressed and just, you know, eulogized because he's the great guy who has all these credentials. Every one of those people is civilly liable for the lies that they permitted. Remember, Chertoff was also among the people, along with Morrell, who signed the letter of 51 calling the Hunter laptop Russian disinformation.
Right.
So there's a big story here, a big investigation. I hope the Republicans are up to it and can gather themselves. And I hope they do depositions first in private so they can really rip into these people and not have these silly 5-minute intervals where they're only given 5 minutes to ask questions. And I hope they hire superb outside counsel to do the initial 1 hour of questioning of each one of these witnesses.
So anybody whose voice was silenced, whose reputation was damaged by this Hamilton 68 thing, they could sue Bill Kristol's pants off.
In my opinion, they can.
All right.
In my opinion,
we're asking your legal
opinion. Now, remember, they knew that this was false information that they were putting out. Chertoff, Mike Morrell, Bill Kristol, all of these people, the former FBI agent who headed this thing up, I can't remember his name right. I think it was Matt Clark or something. The bottom line is this. They knew what they were doing was false, just like the 51 people who wrote that fake letter about the Hunter. They knew. When you do that and you know that you have a reputation that journalists may very well rely on, and you know that that information is going to be used to suppress speech or harm people's reputation, you're responsible for that. You're liable for that.
And and by the way, Twitter knew too. Part of this expose from Matt Taibbi, they knew and they were afraid. They were afraid to say anything because of the political connections. Again,
I mean, we know Yoel Roth is no angel, but he said we need to call this out. It is the B word, and they stayed silent.
Because they were able to sort of reverse engineer what Hamilton 68 list said was this curated list of 600, 700 accounts that were definitively linked to Vladimir Putin and Russian bots. And Twitter, you know, looked at it, examined it, and said, no, these are just conservatives who have different. They weren't always even conservatives either, but they dared to have different opinions than what Bill Kristol and Leon Panetta and Michael Chertoff approved of, and John Podesta, let's not forget.
They and these people at Hamilton 68 claimed that they had done a special analysis of all of these tweets and social postings, and that their analysis had proved conclusively that these were Russian bots.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply false. They didn't do that analysis. And whatever analysis they did do was presumptively faulty, and it was proven so by Twitter.
Yeah.
By Twitter, which should have immediately called them out and didn't do so, which creates liability for Twitter.
Mm. By the way, this think tank, so-called, is called Alliance for Securing Democracy. This is all laid out by Matt Taibbi, and of course, they're still operating. They're still getting money. They're still being funded. And again, John Podesta. Michael Morrell, former CIA director under
Michael
Obama.
Michael
McFaul, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia. Bill Kristol, all of these, and Leon Panetta. And as I can understand an executive at Twitter saying, "Wait a minute, look at the people on this board. These are highly powerful, influential people, and they're gonna, But you know, that doesn't mean they're not at fault too.
And these people have tremendous fundraising power.
Huge. That's how Bill Kristol still pays the bills, I guess.
Right.
Joe DiGenova, always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for joining us today. It's a busy day, as always.
You bet,
and
guys.
We'll see you on Newsmax with your lovely wife coming up later this morning.
You bet.
It's 7:23.
Making sense of your world.
Greatly appreciated.
News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
I love listening to you.
Making sense of the news.
You know, he had that bit part in Soap for a while, and he was a stand-up. He hosted the Oscars. And then Bill Kristol, where did he go wrong, this whole thing? It's weird. That's a different Bill Kristol.
Yes, that is a different one.
We like that Bill Kristol.
Billy.
That's the Billy. Right.
Kristol.
Totally different.
Right.
Don't call this guy Bill Kristol.
Don't
call him
Kristol.
Billy. Washington,
D.C.
Actually, Bill Kristol.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
His hair is not that great, now that I think about it. He doesn't have that going for him either. Yeah. But you know what? PA will even help Bill Kristol out if he has.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
W-M-A-L. Monday morning here in the nation's capital. Good morning. Thanks for joining us here. We're going to start your day the right way. That's why you're here. Coming up at 8:05, Representative Mike Waltz of Florida. He's the brand new chairman of the Armed Services Committee. Speaking of that Tyre Nichols debacle out of Memphis, horrific story. We've got Rob O'Donnell at 8:35. He's a former NYPD detective and also an expert on law enforcement tactics and issues, and he'll maybe shed some light on what we all saw in that horrific video. That's coming up at 8:35. Julie Gunlock's here, fresh off that great event for school choice on Saturday. I saw all the pictures. I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but it looks like it was a great turnout.
It was great, and a lot of listeners were there as well. I met a lot of great folks. It
Excellent.
Was just a great night.
Were they asking about Kurt Schlichter?
They were not.
Interesting. They usually ask me about Kurt Schlichter. All right. On Friday, the RNC met in Dana Point, California, and they chose the chairperson for the next 2 years, two-year term, and they reelected Ronna McDaniel. And that, of course, was probably the fait accompli going in. After all, she very much hand-selected the people who ended up running and winning the various positions around the country who would end up being the electors in this race. But still, it was probably the most hotly contested chairmanship race that I remember since maybe 2010, right after Michael Steele left, and that Reince Priebus ended up being victorious in that one. Well, joining us right now is a political observer and columnist and somebody who actually advocated on behalf of Harmeet Dhillon, the challenger to Ronald Romney McDaniel, Kurt Schlichter. He, of course, a senior columnist at Town Hall, and he's wide awake early in the morning out there on the West Coast. Hey, Kurt, were you there in Dana Point, by the way?
I went down there on Wednesday and, did some lobbying, watched Trump's people do their lobbying for Ronna. Yeah. And it was interesting.
Did you, I said it was sort of a fait accompli. This was an uphill battle, and I think that Harmeet Dhillon already made a difference in going forward for how the RNC is going to operate and some scrutiny with the chair. In fact, I believe Ronna McDaniel's already announced this is her last term. So, that's something right there.
Like she did last time.
But Kurt, what did he, like she did last time, what noted. What was the mood like there? Because as you just said, Trump was lobbying on behalf of Ronna, and more of sort of the grassroots activist fed up with the same old was activated for Harmeet Dhillon. Describe the scene and the impression after the vote.
Well, we talk a lot about the Republican establishment, Larry, and it was interesting to be among them. Because if you're one of the 168 electors, one of the three people from your state or territory or province or whatever, it's a total of 168 of them. You got there because for 40 years you've been knocking on doors and working your way up through the volunteer ranks until this is kind of a reward. This is kind of, hey, you work really hard and you get this. So not a lot of change agents.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are very well established, these uppity kids with their ideas about transparency and effectiveness and accountability. No. They were furious in many cases because what we did is we publicized their contact info. You can call them, politely touch base with them, and let them know what you think.
Mm.
And they were, a lot of them were mad.
Well, but this is all very public information. I mean, if you elect to be a state chair or that's sort of part of the deal. You're supposed to be responsive to the members of the party, right?
Yeah, that wasn't. Many of them, not all of them. Some of them thought, hey, I just think it's the wrong time to change people, even though she's a five-time loser, we should stay. I get that. I disagree with it. But there were ones who were going, people calling me and, communicating. How dare they?
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
yeah. Don't they know who
they
I am?
Stop watching Tucker Carlson and read the Washington Post and learn something. It's kind of cool.
Wow. Kurt, you framed this within the confines of the establishment versus sort of grassroots and outspoken activists. And that's why it's confusing to many who are watching this that Donald Trump was on the side of the establishment. In fact, this comes on the heels of him lobbying, going to great pains to ensure that Kevin McCarthy wins the speakership. And people don't think of Donald Trump and the people who are hardcore supporters of Donald Trump as the establishment. But I guess based on how you frame this, you tell me, is that the establishment of the Republican Party now?
Well, it's not that. It's not a simple pro-Trump, anti-Trump thing. There are a lot of never-Trumpers who were with Ronna. And there were some never-Trumpers who were against Ronna because they perceived she was pro-Trump. And then there were some guys like me. I wrote a book defending Trump. There were people who worked for Trump. Harmeet herself was Trump's lawyer. Everybody liked Trump, but even though he portrayed himself as being neutral, it was pretty clear from the activities of the people who I physically watched with my own eyes lobbying people. Who worked for him that, he wanted Ronna. He has a relationship. And that's not what regular folks want. And you look at Donald Trump now, and, we're all saying, the super Trump guys, he's going to drain the swamp. Oh, is that why he's, going down and endorsing Lindsey Graham again? Yeah, he's going to get Lindsey because he wants to overthrow the freaking establishment. know, it's definitely weird.
There were a lot of Republicans who were, you know, wringing their hands because they watch CNN too much or read Jennifer Rubin too much, who were upset that, you know, why are we having this division right now over the speakership and these crazies who are blocking? Let's just move forward. We got to be unified. Why are we? I mean, it's only January 23. It's not. We haven't even had 3 months since the midterm elections. This is the time to have this sort of battle to determine the direction of the party.
Yes.
But given that, and given that the battles have been done, how do we move forward now? What does unity look like? Because, I mean, frankly, if we take the House fight over Kevin McCarthy as an example, they everybody seems to be on the same page now moving forward. They had it.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm gonna be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Out. They made their point and now they're moving forward. How do we do that as a party now? It's a lot larger body of people.
Well, look, the momentum is with us rebels. And I think McCarthy's smartest move was to understand that, you know, the stodgy failure theater Republicanism of the past, this isn't going to work. We've got to move forward. And he's done a good job as speaker so far. Especially, like, you know, tossing out Swalwell and Schiff, you know, that kind of hassle in the press, doing wonderful things like that.
Yeah.
But, look, it's going to be slow and it's going to take time. The guys who've been around 30, 40 years are not just going to give up their sinecures because of 85% of the party wants action. They're not going to do it. They're going to have to just go. We're going to have to beat them in elections and states. You got to understand, the people are ticked. The activist Republican base is very ticked. And a lot of these folks, I think, we're going to see lose their elections in their state.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one of the interesting things is that I know that more people either committed to Harmeet or were telling their people back home that they were going to vote for Harmeet than actually did.
Hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's...
I mean, I saw the whip count.
Yeah.
I know who... I know the numbers. And there were people out there sending emails like, yeah, I hear your voice. And it's like, you know, somebody
but of
heard,
course,
heard her voice.
It's a secret ballot, though, right? Secret ballot.
It is a secret ballot. We actually thought it would play better for Harmeet.
Right. You'd think it would go the other way. Say, oh, yeah, I'm with Ron. And then when the vote comes down, you go with it. Yeah, yeah. Kurt Schlichter, Boys and Girls.
Yeah, it was a significantly lower number than we calculated.
Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com and also author of about 6 books a year. Kurt, thank you for joining us on the RNC chairmanship. Julie Gundlach, this was such a busy weekend. I mean, we were just talking about the RNC chair vote, and then we had the Matt Taibbi Twitter file story that we talked to Jody Geneva about. We had the video of Tyre Nichols, the beating death there at the hands of the Memphis police. And then we also had the body cam footage of the Paul Pelosi hammer attack, which was just as crazy town as anybody had expected. Let me just first, before we play some of this body footage, Paul Pelosi is lucky to be alive.
Oh,
I mean, this was such a brutal blow by this suspect.
It really was.
The cops get to the door. They stand around. They knock on the door. And the cop sort of looks. I don't know why.
Let me just say this. I think you and I both agree. This was not this body cam footage wasn't like, oh, OK, now it makes sense.
No, I have more questions.
Me too. Me too.
The cop comes back to the door and it mysteriously sort of opens on its own. It's a very weird thing.
You almost think someone's behind the door.
Or the assailant opened the door, or they're both sort of holding hands where the hammer is, you know?
Yes.
And so maybe both of their hands opened the door.
I don't know.
I do know that in Paul Pelosi's other hand, his left hand, is a drink of sorts.
With ice.
There's ice in it because you see ice strewn on the floor after he gets attacked by the hammer. All right. So the door opens like you know, the Munsters' home. You know, it opens by itself, weirdly, strangely. I don't know who opened it. And the assailant's standing there, and Paul Pelosi is just sitting. Well, here, let me play a little bit of it.
620, right?
No, 2640.
Oh. Walking up to the door here. Cops are chattering.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How are you?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good.
Hi. How Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey.
What is going on right now?
I'm not getting an answer on call.
And that's when the attack and the struggle occurs. All right, so but you heard the nonchalant. And
what's going on here?
Again, maybe it's me. And I don't, and I'm trying because everyone's like, how dare you second guess this thing? And it's like, all you people who doubted this story, you have an apology. No, I got no apologies.
Yeah, there were calls for Elon Musk to apologize. Like, for what?
It's still crazy town.
It is.
And I'm sorry, if I've got an intruder in my house in the middle of the night with a hammer and the cops are finally there at the door and I'm standing at the door, I'm saying, hey, get this guy, get him, help me. He's just standing there. He's just standing there frozen.
Look, I'm willing to say, I don't know how I'd act in a similar situation. Maybe it just was a very strange video, but you're right. I also have questions about these cops just sort of sauntering up to the house very calmly.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
And then the door is this sort of mysteriously opens. And then there's these two guys standing there. Paul Pelosi is still holding a glass of water or whatever
with
ice in
it, which suggests it's a liquid of some kind. We don't know what it was, but which suggests he had just poured it. Right.
Which is also
it had
weird.
Ice.
You know, again, he is. There were some myths that were busted. The assailant had all of his clothes on. Paul Pelosi obviously had boxers on and a shirt.
Right.
So some of those things are busted. But it's still, where are the Capitol Police? I mean, I still don't understand why they were not aware of this, why it took police officers, not them, responding.
The San Francisco police. Well, the Capitol Police had surveillance cameras, and they claimed, I guess,
But again, like, why weren't they responding to that? Anyway, the whole thing is more questions.
And it got even stranger. David DePape, the suspect who's arrested and behind bars right now, he offered this bizarre jail cell interview to a local station, KTVU.
Okay, so what do you want to say? Because they released the video earlier today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. What did you want? Thank you for calling me. What did you want? What did you want to tell me?
Now that you all have seen the body cam footage, I have an important message for everyone in America. You're welcome. Freedom of liberty isn't dying. It's being killed systematically and deliberately. The people killing it have names and addresses. So I got their names and addresses so I could pay them a little visit. Have a heart-to-heart chat about their bad behavior. The Tree of Liberty needs watering. You need men of valor, patriots willing to put their own lives on the line to stand in opposition to tyranny. I would also like to apologize. I want to apologize to everyone. I messed up. What I did was really bad. I'm so sorry. I didn't get more of them.
All right, so, and again, I feel I'm going to cut it off because there's more, but it's just a rambling of a lunatic, and I don't want to give him oxygen, but just sort of to shed more light on just the insanity involved here. You're welcome, America, but I'm also sorry because I didn't get more of them.
Yeah, I mean,
dwelling in a conspiracy theory world right here. But again, you know, the conspiracy theory. Guess what would stop conspiracy theories? Full transparency and release of information. Why did we have to fight to get this?
Well, also, why do we have to wait so long?
Yeah. And one other thing to everybody said, well, you owe the Pelosi's an apology, and you owe everybody an apology for even daring to question these things. You know what? The left in this country, in the media, they are still celebrating Rand Paul's neighbor.
Yeah.
For beating the hell out of him and putting him in the hospital.
Yes.
And then he's a hero to the you see it all the time. Well, I know what Rand Paul's neighbor was thinking now.
These are the same folks who don't give a crap about Kavanaugh
right.
or Kavanaugh's family right. and the fact that he was almost killed.
We asked serious questions about that. We still have serious questions about this bizarre story. And then the reporter who got, suspended from NBC News for actually saying.
Which, by the way, his last report was on a bear.
The bear selfies. We talked about it on Friday. Yeah.
I mean, can you believe?
Of course we did. It was Critter News. He's now he's now reduced to critter news on today's show.
That's
instead
right.
Instead of covering things like this. No, we're not going to apologize for that. We never celebrated this guy. We never made him a folk hero like the people did to Rand Paul's
That's
neighbor.
Right.
All right,
That's right.
So enough. Coming up at the big 8 o'clock hour, your brand new chairman of the Armed Services Committee, Congressman Mike Waltz, and he's going to join us. Plus, Rob O'Donnell, law enforcement expert, former NYPD cop, will get his firsthand.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.